Your recipe for mastering mealtime awaits at the 2024 National Restaurant Show. As appetites for mealtime value increase and demand for convenience grows, now is your opportunity to elevate your food service offerings and become the go-to choice for hungry shoppers on the move. Find fresh flavors and products to keep your customers coming back for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. As you explore a bustling show floor featuring over 900 product categories, from award-winning food and beverage items to innovative equipment and technology. Join your peers at the show for food service in Chicago, May 18th to 21st, and emerge as a mealtime favorite. Visit the official show website at www.nationalrestaurantshow.com to register and learn more.
Welcome to Menu Feed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Menu Editor for both brands. Joining me on the podcast are Chef Jenner Tomaska and Katrina Bravo, husband and wife co-owners of Esme, a Michelin-starred fine dining restaurant in Chicago. The couple met when they were working at MK. Chef Michael Cornick's longtime Chicago culinary destination that has since closed. When the pair opened Esme in August 2021, their vision was to marry Katrina's passion for art and Jenner's passion for cooking and hospitality and create a one-of-a-kind dining experience. The restaurant offers an evolving tasting menu inspired by Chicago's rich cultural scene. Jenner and Katrina collaborate with local artists and creatives, and each quarter, Esme's menu, servingware, decor, and music reflect the current artistic collaboration. For those who want a less structured dining experience, the bar at Esme offers craft cocktails, wine, and an a la carte menu. Listen as the duo describes their journey to open a restaurant inspired by their vision, and soon after earn a Michelin star. And they'll share their mission to tell their story through a culinary and artistic lens. Welcome, Jenner and Katrina. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Yeah,
me too. Well, if each of you can just briefly tell me about your culinary journey and the steps that brought you to open Esme.
Sure, I guess I can start. You know, cooking and hospitality has been in my life since I was young. It's really the only thing I've ever done. You know, I started off washing dishes and bussing tables at a young age, probably before I should have been. I had to get permission from my school because I think I was only 13 when I took my first job. And I never really left. You know, the hospitality world has this kind of inviting, familiar aspect to it, which I think draws a lot of people. You know, I feel like missing that from my home life was something that's kind of kept me in and kind of kept me in on this journey. And it's the, you know, luckily it's just the place where I met my wife who's here with us today. So, you know, it's kind of been the most driving important thing in my life and has guided me to these people that mean so much to me and, you know, has really kept me in the game. I went to culinary school, kind of seeking a college experience on the East Coast and then kind of returned home to seek out higher cooking at a more professional pace. I started kind of my real professional cooking career at MK here in Chicago with Michael Cornick and Eric Williams, who are both dear friends. It's where I met my wife, Katrina. She at the time when I was just a cook there was coat checking.
No, I was a host.
Hosting. I'm sorry.
I also coat checked.
And then after that, via a mutual relationship of Dave Barron at the Alinea Group through Eric Williams, as Dave also worked at MK for a long period of time, I got a job at Next and spent kind of the next 10 years of my career working there, working my way up to the executive chef and kind of working alongside Grant Ackett's and running the sister restaurant of Alinea. And then we've decided to venture off and, you know, together open a restaurant together, you know, during COVID.
And that was brave for sure.
Yeah. The saying goes, you're buying the red. And we were fortunate enough to kind of be able to strategize and concept and really consider what a restaurant is and what we wanted to do with our careers during such a, you know, a weird time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of really tailored what we created and what Esme kind of has become.
And how about you, Katrina? Did you have culinary training too?
No, absolutely not. apologies for, you know, my hoarse voice, but I'll try to get through this so you guys can understand me. So I'm actually, my background is actually in advertising, marketing, brand building. And I also graduated with a minor in art from the University of Miami in Miami, Florida. Uh-huh. So, you know, I also graduated in the middle of an economic crisis. So there weren't very many jobs to be had in my field of expertise. So when I moved to Chicago from Miami, I kind of had to moonlight around. One of the jobs I picked up while I, you know, was in transition was hostessing at MK. I had just graduated a really nice, you know, bill from the University of Miami that I had to pay back. And there were no jobs. So I was very lucky that they had a place for me at MK. And even after I landed a more stable corporate job, I just, again, kind of like Chef Jenner said about the familial aspect, I loved the environment that Michael and Lisa Cornick built there. And I just stayed, even though I had, you know, a 9-to-5 corporate job. I just couldn't leave because I just loved the team so much. I loved, you know, and Lisa Cornick was just, and Michael, they were just so good to me. Anytime there was issues or even when I was trying to stabilize my job career, they were so supportive in finding me things to do with them. So I actually did go ahead and remain on with them. And then from there, you know, I eventually did have to leave. That's just kind of how it goes, you know. As Lisa Cornick always said, I could always go home if I needed to, but I did find myself in direct sales and marketing, working for a developer, a real estate firm here in Chicago. And then in that time, while I was celebrating Christmas at MK, I ran into Jenner, who had left. Actually, he left probably 2 years before I left. So I was there a little bit longer than him. And, you know, I really enjoy restaurants. I really enjoy eating. I really enjoy, you know, the transportive quality, especially in fine dining. When I first dined at Next, I remember thinking it was such a fascinating concept. It was really my first exposure to this elevated style of dining and storytelling. And, you know, I really fell in love and with what dining is, what I always loved what hospitality meant. Michael Cornick really, to this day, we still quote him, you know, his mantras, his teachings, his lessons, I carry them every day in my normal life and from industry to industry. So, you know, I really believed in Jenner and what he does. And I thought, okay, well, if I can sell all these other things, I can sell him.
Well, I was lucky enough to live in Chicago for 7 years. So right before I moved during COVID, actually. But I have been at MK. I mean, that was a while ago. And that I also splurged and went to Alinea once. So, yeah, unfortunately, I never got to Esme, but yeah, it's on my list for sure. So when you opened the restaurant, so I guess your background in art, Katrina, and your background in culinary, Jenner, really comes together at Esme. So can you explain or describe how your vision when you decided to launch this restaurant?
You know, for me personally, art and design and inclusive of interior design, I'm very passionate about both things. And I always have been, and I've always found that there's such a great connector between the culinary arts and then art as a more formal medium of expression. And so when Jenner and I were first dating, I was very insistent upon him, you know, going to museums with me, exploring different forms of art and the way people work. Because I just find that the process is very similar. And again, I've always been very passionate about it. And, you know, he immediately saw that and you just kind of was like, oh yeah, this makes total sense. So for us, upon opening, we knew a couple things. One is that we knew that the design of the restaurant was going to be very important to both of us. We both very much enjoy beautiful furniture, craftsmanship. Again, furniture design and making and architecture it's the arts as well. And then also we wanted to kind of pay homage to, you know, our greatest muse, which is art itself, right? Right. Usually artists have muses, but for us, the entire spectrum of artistic expression is really what drives us to do what we do, and finding a way to bring life to that, whether it's on the walls or if it's the plateware that Chef Jenner is using, we really, 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 or even if it's just the artists themselves, someone that we really are keen on and enjoy their work, but also them, it just became very solid for us that this is something we wanted to combine.
Mm. And right now, I will get back to the menu, but right now you're collaborating with Raspi Rivera, is that correct?
Yes.
So is he a local artist in Chicago?
Oh yes, she is. She's local to Chicago. Mm-hmm. She's actually grew up in Logan Square, which is one of the neighborhoods here in the city.
Right.
And, you know, we met actually over the pandemic, and really, honestly, I really just fell in love with her style of and simplicity of her work. And we became very good friends, professional friends, but also friends. And we wanted to make sure we tied it full circle. She did some work. We commissioned her to do the wallpaper in our bar area. We bought art for our bathrooms from her, but we really wanted to bring it full circle and kind of, you know, lend her the same support she's lent us in the last 2 years and have her show in the space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really cool. And so, Jenner, what did you open with the idea of a seasonally changing tasting menu format?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, I feel like you have a concept in your mind and it doesn't always work out the way it wants to, like the saying, live and let God. And it just kind of, you know, things happen for a reason, and it just is kind of the path we took. You know, I feel like each restaurant space or each opening I've ever done has kind of been the same way. You know, they talk about doing something and it being very specific, and looking back, hindsight, it usually is not the complete opposite, but it has a way of working itself out. You know, we always wanted to utilize the space as this platform for people, specifically, obviously, local Chicago artists, and then the hospitality as well, because it's just so intertwined. Come to find out, the art world is very small, and you know, community, mm-hmm. just like the food world is here. You know, everyone kind of knows everyone by third degree, and the art world works the same way. And when we first started kind of concepting, you know, what we wanted the space to mean to us, we wanted to create this jumping off point for people, right? We wanted to bring in people to work there and give them a platform to then push them out into the world and give them, you know, skills that they would not necessarily just direct cooking skills, but skills to go out and be successful in any other medium or any other place. And I think that's why I've come to, you know, really love this so much, more so than the familia aspect of it. Now I get to sit down with these creatives and network and have relationships and kind of build on that. And I think I love that more than I love the food itself. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from the chef, right? Katrina speaks about food very differently than I do. You know, she has these very intense food memories and she loves food. I do too. I love the idea of craftsmanship and working with my hands and physically creating something for someone. And that kind of act of exchange is something I really love. To be able to interact with the guests as the owner and chef now is something I look forward to every night, right? At a time, I don't think I could say this, you know, 10 years ago, Katrina would task me once a night to go out to diners and speak with them, you know, being a very introverted person and reserved, I guess. It's been a learned skill, but something that I've, you know, have learned to love, to get to the response and reaction of a person's emotion to something is fulfilling in a way I didn't think was possible. And I think the arts world is the same way. You know, I think fine dining, if you want, if that's what you want to call this, or tasting menus, can be a bit stuffy and uninviting. And that's not what we wanted Esme to be. And it seems to be like the art world at some way has that kind of notion too. Like if you're not learned on a topic or have a seat at the table, then you can feel very intimidated. We've done the complete opposite with Esme. Mm-hmm. We've created a space where you can come in and have fun, have an intimate moment, be excited or be sad, or whatever that emotion is, you know, fulfilling for that guest. And you don't have to be learned on the food. You don't have to be learned on the art. You know, you can have an emotion or feeling on anything, and that's not right or wrong. you know, per se is like fact, right? It's mm-hmm. what we're trying to create. You know, we want guests to feel something when they're involved and in being interactive in the space.
Well, I know that you do have some signatures, though, that people have grown to love, like the mother of pearl. Could you describe that dish a little?
Yeah, of course. You know, I have been able to interact with these kind of creatives in a way that, you know, has been amazing, to sit down with someone and talk to them and have a relationship and see how they get from A to B in their craft is very comforting for me. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of working in this kind of box per se, right? I'm not the pizza guy. I don't make tacos. I don't do Italian food. I don't like to kind of pigeonhole my cuisine. So to be able to have parameters through artists is very comforting for me and fulfilling creatively. So to go to, you know, any sort of medium, whether it's plateware or the artist we're featuring, and be able to see how they work through their craft and why they do it and where they're from and what's kind of made them do it or got them down the path where they're at is very exciting and creatively usually my starting point. You know, we've worked with a lot of local ceramicists here in Chicago and abroad. We try to be, you know, as Chicago based as possible, but you know, the creative world is expansive. Mm. But David Kim, who's a local ceramicist here, was nice enough to invite me over to his studio and kind of walk me through some of his processes and mediums and different types of clay and glazing and where he gets his clay from and how he works with it is very tactile. And for me, usually, you know, very relatable to cooking, right? I use my hands every day. I get to process things and transform them into something else or, you know, cooking, right? The, yeah. You know, the definition is, you know, the act of, you know, transferring heat, right? So to watch a creative go through that process is fun. So one of our, you know, I guess you call signature dishes, has been on and off the menu since we've been open is the mother of pearl. So David actually made us this hard stone, which is kind of an oxymoron because it's porcelain, and porcelain's usually very soft clay, but it's very rough on and coarse on the outside of the bowl. And then it's almost in the shape of a rock. Each bowl is very organically made to look slightly different than the one, you know, prior to it. And then in the middle of it, it's been glazed in a way where it almost resembles mother of pearl. And then my first thought is obviously caviar. It's usually one of the opening courses on the menu. You know, when I think caviar, I think bellinis, potatoes, eggs, these traditional flavors or mediums and bread that kind of go along with caviar. And we're just taking that thought and progressing it a little bit. So it's white sweet potato ice cream because potatoes are a perfect medium for caviar. Mm. It's been seasoned with kombu and bonito, which adds some savory notes to the course itself, you know, because it is ice cream. And we kind of wanted to go in the opposite path. And then on top of that, we top it with Osetra caviar from Star Nikolai caviar. And the caviar is not necessarily meant to be the highlight of the dish, but more of a seasoning ingredient, right? It's adding salinity and nuttiness to the ice cream itself. And then it's served with a peanut miso and a hot sauce. So you get all of these kind of flavor combinations of sweet, salty, and acidic kind of bouncing off your palate. It's very nuanced and it's, you know, become one of my favorite.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So the art and the and the plateware kind of sometimes inspires some of your menu items. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so we switch the menu quarterly, as you kind of briefly mentioned. Every quarter we do an installation with a new artist. It's kind of been very happenstance, as we were talking about the community being very close-knit. Each artist kind of has brought us to the next. It's been very happenstance, which is kind of beautiful, like to watch these relationships between us and them grow and then between each other grow and watch them support one another. It's been very fun. As far as the menu and the food goes, sometimes the whole menu is paired to the art. We did a dinner with Paul Octavius, who's a local photographer here. Mm-hmm. It's the first time he ever really featured his art physically and not digitally. So we had, you know, 15 to 20 of his prints done and hung in the restaurant. And each course was paired to one of those prints. Each course was titled after each one of you know, the photos that he took. And, you know, for me, again, to kind of work alongside him, with him, and creatively come up with these ideas is, you know, a dream come true. And then there's other times where, you know, we're just trying to find our culinary voice, and not every single course is kind of paired to it. But the aesthetic of the restaurant just changes, right? It's kind of this ever evolving concept and idea of us kind of exploring cuisine.
Wow, it sounds amazing. Definitely have to check it out. So I was at the Michelin ceremony this year, and I saw that you were awarded 3 Michelin stars, which is like a very rare achievement and quite an achievement.
No, just one.
Just
sorry.
One.
But just one.
Fingers crossed for 3.
My mistake. Okay, well, even one is like an amazing achievement. So was this the first time you've gotten a star?
So we were awarded our first one the year prior, our opening year. So okay. We were privileged enough to retain one again for this year.
Oh, okay. It's my mistake then, but that's still
no worries.
So, I mean, is it, what did you have to do after, you know, like in the past year to retain the star? Is there any like secrets that, or any like method to that?
You know, it's an honor to be recognized by Michelin. But it's something that I think we've kind of decided prior to opening the restaurant. We weren't going to dictate what we wanted to do or how we wanted to showcase our work or the artist's work by awards or lists. You know, it's always amazing to, you know, be recognized, right? Mm-hmm. But that I think that's very a fleeting idea. If tomorrow we still have to go into work. So we've just always kind of struck to our core values of what we believe in and what we wanted, you know, how we could best showcase the artists and the food. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with a tremendous amount of stress and work.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. So your bar is also supposedly, I mean, since I haven't been there, I have to say, suppose it's supposed to be like a real destination for a lot of the guests. And you have a unique cocktail program. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we wanted to create a space for the neighborhood as well and make kind of this inviting, welcoming space that is refined, but also a little less intimidating. We're in Lincoln Park, and Lincoln Park can be a little more reserved when it comes to dining, I'd like to say. So we wanted to almost create a very high-end, you know, cocktail focused space, that it was a little more friendly and inviting than a you know, a 3-hour tasting menu. So we always coming up with kind of unique and fun ways to kind of break that tension. And that's usually, you know, shown through the food and the cocktails. You know, we serve a giant Cheeto in the bar, that we make in house. We have like this grain extruder that puffs grain, and we season it like a flaming hot Cheeto. And you get this kind of giant bouquet of a bar snack, right? You know, when I think bar snacks, I think nuts and olives and things like that, or chips. So we've kind of created this fun and unique way to kind of break the tension of being at a, you know, a nicer space. It allows the guests to feel, you know, relaxed and fun. Mm-hmm. They make a giant mess. And, you know, it kind of brings you back to being a kid and revisiting the reasons why you went out in the first place. And that's obviously to have fun or a good time.
Right. So do you have to reserve a spot at the bar, or can you just walk?
Yeah, we take reservations. But, you know, we do allow walk-ins, you know, as it's in a neighborhood. And, you know, we do want to support our neighbors.
But you can order an a la carte menu there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if there are there some things on the tasting menu you can order as just like a you know, separate one shot?
No. So the food in the bar is much more of a kind of higher end bistro.
Okay.
So we do a beautiful holdover sole that we present at the table, bring it back to the kitchen, debone it, and then it's kind of serve it very traditionally, you know, green bean, almondine. We have oysters on the hash shell, Wagyu tartare, you know, and some snacks and larger courses. It's kind of meant to be like an introduction to, you know, what they could experience in the tasting menu, but just in a larger format.
Got it. How many seats are there in the restaurant and how many in the bar area?
So we have about 22 seats in the bar. And then there's about 36 in the dining room.
Oh, so there are enough seats so that if you wanted to walk into the bar.
You most certainly could.
Yeah, cool. And then you also do catering and events. Do you have a separate, like, private dining room or event
space? You want to answer this one?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how this happened. So originally when we created the restaurant, we were going to have a traditional private dining room that got scrapped with COVID. And somehow, because of the mobility of our space, we don't have any tables or chairs that are affixed. They can be moved around quite easily, and we have become quite the private event, private party, large party place. So we do a lot of business in the large parties, from private birthday parties to large corporations buying us out to, you know, sometimes they're so big that we end up writing full menus that are thematically based on those restaurants and those companies. And sometimes it's our own tasting menu and it's, you know, 35 individuals or 35 CEOs. Basically, at this point, you name it, we've done it. We've had live music, live performances. We've taken out all of our own furniture, brought in all new furniture. I'm constantly just so surprised by the amount of bookings we get for these large events, large party and experiential parties.
Oh, well, that sounds really interesting. That must be fun. Especially.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to kind of work with larger brands and companies. You know, we've done thematic dinners for, you know, some of these companies, or Nike came in for Air Max Day and asked us to kind of design a menu around that. So it's been very, very fun. You know, Dave Matthews performed there one time for at this kind of corporate event in this kind of very intimate moment. So the space is so mobile, you know, because it is like a gallery, right? And we're able to kind of move it around to tailor and customize it to, you know, these different experiences.
And tell me how you came up with the name, because I meant to ask that earlier, but.
Katrina, this is you. She's definitely the storyteller.
I mean, for me personally, when I was thinking of a name, I wanted something that, you know, kind of paid homage to Jenner's love of French food specifically. But I also wanted something that kind of encompassed, you know, how we feel about hospitality, how we feel about, you know, our industry, and how we feel about our mission and our ethos, which has really carried us through, which is about, you know, really helping to support others and really being a part of our community. So in French, Esme actually means beloved or beloved one.
Oh, got it.
We've always seen the restaurant as a love letter to Chicago, a love letter to a love letter to our community and industry. So for us, you know, that idea of a beloved one or beloved really was a driving factor in building our brand and kind of keeping our ship on course as it pertains to the things that we believe in and what we're striving for.
Well, to wrap up, can you talk a little bit about what's coming next for you? I mean, I know that you're in the winter season right now. Do you change into spring?
We just changed our menu. We're actually like the second week into featuring Amanda. And that's kind of the crazy part that comes along with, you know, changing the menus and finding these new artists quarterly. We're in the thick of finding our next year's artists. We usually book them about a year out now. And that's always the challenging part, you know, when it comes to the menu. It is really like creating a new restaurant every 4 months, you know, as the music changes, the style of service and the art and service wear. And that's kind of what we are always looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm sure your guests are too. It must be fun to come back every season.
Yeah, we actually do season tickets. It's an elite dining pass where we offer, you know, the people who come dine with us frequently to come back for every single menu. We do it at like a discounted rate, but that's not really why we do it. We offer kind of much more than them able to come back 3 or 4 times a year. We have classes, kind of tours, field trips that kind of come along with it. And, you know, it's a really a way to say thank you to these diners that are supporting us so often.
Right. And so may I ask what, if you don't have the elite pass, what is the price per person for the tasting menu? Does it change each time? Pretty
well. Yeah. It's usually $265 a person for food, and then we offer an array of kind of beverage experiences, from a non-alcoholic pairing to an exploratory wine pairing and a classic wine pairing. The exploratory pairing is more of a taste of both wine, cocktail, and spirit to kind of that goes along with the food, and specifically we seek out these things to kind of enhance your experience. And then we offer something that's, you know, more focused on wine for the people who are, you know, so passionate about that.
Thanks so much, Jenna and Katrina. Esme sounds like a can't miss experience, and it's definitely on my list for my next Chicago visit. You can download this episode of Menu Feed and past ones on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Pat Kobe.